Tom Gazzola joins us. Well, Tom, some lineup juggling. We knew it was coming. Yurcho's on waivers. I don't think he gets claimed, so he'll go down to the minors. Colby Cave already reassigned. And that means Archibald, Shahan, and are for sure in. Nygaard wasn't in on the four-line rotation today, so I'm guessing maybe we won't see him until Sunday. But Dave Tippett afterwards just talked about wanting to get back to a little bit more uniformity. He's going to the top three lines that he kind of had together, which was Chaisson, Neal, and Nugent Hopkins. He has Archibald back with Shahan and Kara, and then the top line. What do you think of him? He said, you know what, I've been switching up with a lot. I'm just trying to go back to consistency and continuity.
Yeah, one of the things, Greg, that he talked about was I asked him about having Shahan and Archibald back in and what that does, what's a realistic expectation of those guys. And he said the one word that stood out to me was stability. Like, you get stability from those guys. He has the faith in them because they've been NHLers and they bring that veteran presence. And then he can go back to Cassian with the top two big dogs up there and then try to get Nugent Hopkins, Neal, and Chaisson to click. And that's okay in my books, but stability was the big takeaway I took from what Dave Tippett was saying today. And he kind of said it like there was some relief in his voice. That's how I interpreted what he was saying. And listen, we all know that this bottom six and now bottom nine to a certain extent hasn't been clicking offensively. So not to say that Shahan and Archibald coming back is going to solve everything, but you know, you've got reliable veteran guys that at some point it's going to work and it's going to click and something's going to happen offensively where they're going to figure it out. But you know what else too is both guys have been injured and ill multiple times this season. Like, it's hard to get any kind of rhythm going when you're missing games every couple of weeks because either an injury or an illness is keeping you out. So there hasn't really been any rhythm to that whole line with Kara as well. And we'll see now if they can stay healthy and get something going.
You mentioned the Nugent Hopkins line, and no question about it that he's got to get going. Nugent and even Neal to a lesser extent, especially five on five. And I crunched some numbers. Nugent Hopkins, he's not the only four guys who have scored a lot of goals. Jamie Benn, no goals, five on five. Mitch Marner, no goals, five on five. Alex Barkov, no goals, five on five. Cam Atkinson, no goals. So, you know, other guys are doing it early on. The Oilers have won without him, and that's great, but you could just imagine how much easier life will be if that second line gets going five on five.
Yeah, and it's so clear and obvious now. And even on the post-game show last night, you know, people are emotional and they're definitely invested in this team and they pour their heart and soul into it. But we're getting people texting and saying, get rid of Nuge. It's time for him to go. What has he done for this team lately? And it's like, hey, listen, like, he's coming off his best career year. And he knows he's struggling to score five on five. That whole line knows it's struggling to score five on five. And the thing with a guy like Nugent Hopkins is, yeah, he's gonna have bad games. Greg, it's an 82-game schedule. Like, guys are going to go through peaks and valleys, and this is clearly a tough spot for Nugent Hopkins, especially five on five. He still has 9 points on the season through 17 games. But talking to him today, even he knows it. He's like, I need to score. I'm going to, you know, he knows at some point it'll click as well. But it's going to happen. I'll looking at it right now, it's not a good time for it to be happening, but I would preach a little bit of patience to people.
Well, see, here, I don't understand why people get upset to say Nugent Hopkins has to play better. He admits he has to play better. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but saying preach more patience, like, my goodness, it's 17 games into the season. Like, what do you mean more patience? Like, they got to win. They got to keep winning games, and you can't. Here's a guy who's getting paid $6 million. Like, that's the harsh reality. His job is to be productive. That's just part of his job.
I know it is, but I think he's going to. That's the thing, is like, I have the faith in him that he will be able to turn it around. And I don't know if he'll get it score in bunches or what, but I have the faith that he's going to get it going sooner rather than later. That's just my take on it. But to suggest, you know, you get people that say, get rid of him, what's he doing? I think, you know, tap the brakes on that. He's going to sort it out. He knows what he's capable of doing, and he's the type of guy that will get it figured out.
Yeah, I wouldn't focus too much on the vocal minority. I think the smart fans are just like, yeah, Nugent Hopkins has to play better. Full stop. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to trade him. He just needs to play better.
And exactly.
And he admits it, and we'll see. Now, did Dave Tippett, I know Klepbom wasn't skating today, blocked a shot on his left leg yesterday. He did have Benning play with Klepbom. They switched up the pairings midway through that game last night. And with Joel Pearson coming back, like, I'll be surprised if they put Pearson back with Klepbom right away. I think Pearson, if he comes back in, is probably starting on the third pair, no?
Interesting. Well, Benning and Russell were practicing together today. So, like, I was fully expecting it to go back to Pearson and Klepbom tomorrow. But if he wants to continue to send that message to Pearson, that's one way to do it. And quite frankly, Matt Benning, you know, in his, you know, not limited capacity, but if you give him just the right amount of minutes and put him in the right situations and you know, that 13 to 16 minutes a night, he's going to be decent. And he has been. And that's what we've seen. He's constant and he's a serviceable defenseman. I think he'd be okay if you slid him up a little bit and played him with a Klepbom to see if that works. Some people might not like that idea, but I anticipated Pearson to be back with Klepbom, but we'll see what Dave Tippett decides to do. I guess at morning skate tomorrow.
Yeah, I just think it's something that would make more sense. You're protecting Joel Pearson because I don't believe Pearson's, you know, he's going to have a little bit easier minutes, easier matchups if you play him with Russell on the third pair. And
yeah,
I think it would be better for the player. So you've admitted as a coach with your actions that he struggled. You've said it with your words, he struggled. So why would you put him right back into that position? Maybe ease him back in. And maybe he's going to be in the third pair anyway, and if Klepbom can't go, then Benning and Russell will be your second pair, and Manning and Pearson will be the third pair against the New Jersey team. You know, we talked about the orders and how they played fairly well against the top teams in the standings. And I thought last night they were right in that game from start to finish. I didn't have much of an issue with their game. Ideally, you would have liked them maybe to carry the play a little bit more in the early goings because of the schedule and fatigue factor potentially for St. Louis. But I definitely didn't believe that the Blues dominated that game by any stretch of the imagination. And the Orders, you know, had a real strong third. Jake Allen with some huge saves to keep that a 3-2 game, which is maybe a little bit different. But you look at New Jersey, regardless of what they do in Calgary tonight, I think the Orders, they've got to find a way to beat those teams. They lost to Detroit. They lost to Minnesota. They lost to Chicago. All near the bottom. They can't do that to a New Jersey team tomorrow night, regardless of what happens tonight.
Yeah, and through 17 games, we're talking about this at the rink today, Greg. If I said to you, this Oilers team is a bit of an enigma, because just when you think they're turning a corner and they beat Washington Capitals team, or they beat the Islanders like they did early in the season, and then they beat Pittsburgh over the weekend, you're like, okay, they've got something here. Like, they've truly started to figure it out, because when you're beating teams like that, that's telling you something. And then they roll into Detroit, lay an egg. They roll into Minnesota, lay an egg. Sunday afternoon game against the Florida Panthers, a team that's no slouch, don't get me wrong, but they've just played brutal. And you're like, okay, well, what team is this? Like, are they a good team? Are they a bad team? Like, why don't they get up for the games that you're supposed to win against perceived lesser opponents? And good teams, as we said, consistently beat the weaker teams in the league. And if this team, this Oilers club, wants to be a good team, they've got to just start winning those games outright. Like, not even giving Detroit or Minnesota a chance in those games. And tomorrow presents another one of those opportunities. Devils playing Calgary again. They come into Edmonton tomorrow, in theory, should be tired or not have their legs. You know, the back-to-back situations, the teams that are playing in them, they usually have good jump early on, and then they fade away. We didn't really see that yesterday from St. Louis, but that's a Stanley Cup champion right there. So New Jersey is a completely different animal in itself. And this is a game, in my opinion, again, like I said before the Detroit game and before the Minnesota game, they got to win it. It's as simple as that, Greg. Like, what team are you? Figure it out. This is going to be a tougher month, and you've got to win these games like New Jersey tomorrow night.
Quickly, to the NBA, the Clippers got fined $50,000 for comments that basically Doc, including Doc Rivers, that were not consistent with the injury of Kawhi Leonard. Now, $50,000 to an NBA team is, you know, whatever.
Dropping the hat, yeah.
For them. But, you know, Michael Jordan came out and said, hey, you're paid to play all 82 games. But the Knicks coaches and Orlando did, which is funny because none of their players, I think, are under load management watch. Do you think the NBA, like, the easy way around it, if I'm a team, I just dress Kawhi Leonard. I don't play him very much. It's very simple. Like, I might play him 2 minutes. Like, why do they just not even have to dress him? Like, that's the way around it if they really want, because you can't force players to play the games. But if they're dressed and he steps on the court, warms up, you know, 3 minutes, boom, he's out. Not a big deal.
Exactly. And Greg, you know it's bad when Doris Burke is calling you out. Like, the nicest lady in the NBA, which every player and coach respects and loves, and you see in her interviews, they hug her and stuff like that, and she's calling out the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard. Even when Kawhi was in Toronto last year, Greg, and they would say he's out due to load management, I remember looking at, like, Connor and being like, what the hell is load management? What does that mean? And I get the whole rest thing, and we're at a time now in professional sports where the studies show, you know, proper rest and nutrition and all that goes a long way. But still, I have a tremendous amount of respect for basketball, having had a chance to see it up close. Like, it's a physical sport. Don't get me wrong. It's not a soft sport by any stretch of the means. But to not dress guys and call it load management, you're basically just saying, yeah, we're not playing him because he doesn't feel like playing and we're going to rest him. I just, it's a concept that I'm still trying to grasp. And I kind of like the fact that the Clippers got fined and that people are making fun of it and are not happy with it, because quite frankly, I think the way to circumvent that or to get past it and not have to deal with these situations is exactly how you describe it. Dress, do the shoot around, whatever, sit on the bench. Like, who cares? You're not playing. You're not going through the rigors of a 48-minute game. But to do this whole load management thing, I think to me, it's always been ridiculous, and it's nice to see it catching up with Kawhi and now the Clippers, because it's their problem.
Tommy, have a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg.